Jackson steps back in the pocket, being chased. Hit! Down he goes. Marco Coleman got it to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carry Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
All right, we welcome you in, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. After the Jaguars wrap up the season, and I know a lot of folks have a lot of things to talk about, I want to get your thoughts, your input, not just on this game in a microcosm, but what are you expecting? What do you want to see during the offseason? What do you think the Jaguars need to be doing to be a contender next year? Again, I'm going to say it. It's not a popular thing to say, but I believe this. I don't think the Jaguars are very far away from being a contender.
I would have to agree with you.
I think getting the right coach in here, solidifying the wide receiver position.
Getting healthy.
And not having 31 guys on. Even with that, you know, I mean, the defense didn't drop off as much as you would have thought. They went from third in the league to fifth in the league with all those injuries. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's still pretty good performance. It doesn't mean you automatically are going to drop off based on injuries, but you'd like to not have 31 guys on IR again next year. I don't think this team is that far away. Catch the ball better, get open better, as Maurice Jones-Drew was talking about, get people in sync. I'd like to get somebody there to take a little bit of the load off Mojo as well, whether that's Rashad Jennings coming back or Montello, whoever it is, somebody else take some of the burden off there. That to me, I think they can contend in the AFC South, and if the Colts take Peyton Manning with the first, Andrew Luck with the first pick, that's probably it for Peyton Manning. Reggie Wayne may not be there. Robert Mathis may not be there. Pierre Garçon. They've got a lot of guys who it may be a whole different thing. You may be looking at a rebuilding situation with the Colts. And then you've got the Texans and you've got the Titans. Titans are probably going to be handing it off to Jake Locker at some point. Mm-hmm. Chris Johnson didn't exactly look like the Chris Johnson of old that made him such a weapon. They're a team, you know, this year finished 9-7. And then you've got the Texans, who, if everybody's healthy, looks pretty strong. But they could lose Mario Williams. Might be a guy the Jaguars might be interested in, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just a name to throw out there. I think the Jaguars can contend in the division next year.
I think so, too. I think if you bring all those guys back, to me, I think in order to get that done, I think Mel Tucker is the guy to get it done. I think bringing in a new coach will be a little bit more difficult. I think it'll be a lot more likely if they got the same voice, the same guy that was involved with all this turmoil to understand where they've been and where they got to go. If anybody understands this team better, it would be himself along with Gene Smith. And that, what better than have those same guys to come back, especially with the end of season. You know, with all the injuries, the way they were still able to perform, it's got to stand for something.
All right, we'll take time out here. Come back, take some calls, take some tweets. You want to tweet it to me on Twitter, you can. At Cole Pepper, Colepepper. Calls at 800-355-NFL1. Also, when we come back, we're going to get Marco's Money Player of the Year. I might have just talked to him a moment ago, huh?
I'm asking for some money if I can.
Get that going a little bit. We'll do that here in just a bit. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. After the Jaguars finished the season 5-11, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. Marco, this should be an easy pick for Marco's Money Player of the Year. Who do you have?
Maurice Jones-Drew, probably the best running back in the game right now. I would actually give him that nod. I'm watching all the running backs in the league currently. He's the best running back. Yeah. He is by far. And
he does it all.
He does it all. He blocks. He receives the ball. I mean, he's never at any point during the season did you see him or hear him have any negativity towards his teammates, his coach. I mean, he is the ultimate football player when you talk about the locker room, on the field. I mean, he's definitely a money player.
And he has been so many times and all year long. So it has been a pretty impressive thing. All right, time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Only injury, Paul Posluszny, shoulder. Don't know how serious it will be. He's got a long time to rest up, though.
Yeah.
So we should, you know, that's good news. No more people going on IR at this point. That's where the Jaguars are in terms of the injuries. All right, let's take some calls here. Marco, what do you say?
Let's go.
800-355-NFL1. And we start with, we got the loyalists on the line here for New Year's Day. Saqib, you're up on the south side. How you doing,
Saqib? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys, man. I just want to say to Dwayne, thank you guys very much for what you guys did. I appreciate it as a fan. And Maurice Jones-Drew, that's the best contract Wayne Weaver has ever given out to me. I mean, to him. That's the best contract I think he ever wrote in his career. In his, you know, NFL as an owner. That's just my opinion, because the guy is just incredible, man. I mean, I know I've been saying that for a few weeks, but, you know, you guys said the same thing. You know, that's...
It's tough to argue with it, isn't it?
Guy. Exactly.
But let me just say this. Marco, you said keep Mel Tucker, right?
Yep.
How are you going to keep Mel Tucker? He's a defensive guy. He doesn't know that much about offense. How is he going to get Blaine Gabbert to play at that top level if he doesn't... I mean, do you just go and hire the best offensive coordinator? Who is the best offensive coordinator to be going to go hire so you can get this guy turned around? Because he does not, to me, he doesn't look good.
Well, that's going to be the task for Gene. I think it would be probably, to me, if he's going to get a, because there's been talk of getting a coordinator from around the league. And in my opinion, if it's going to be another coordinator, Mel Tucker is amongst the top coordinators, offense or defense, across the league that you can find. So why go further than where you're at right at home? A guy, a familiar voice that's been through the whole thing, knows the players, can get something done. Now you're just going to take a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator. And that,
yeah,
I think,
but who is the offensive coordinator that you think that you personally would say, I really want to go get this guy, man? I really don't know
right now. I haven't scoured the whole, you know, universe to see which guy would be the one. But, it's going to take an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I think Blaine is going to have to also have an individual that dedicates time specifically to him, as opposed to spreading it across the whole offense. So it's going to probably be two positions that's going to be needed to make him more successful.
By the way, one name that's going to come up if he gets let go from his current job is North Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Offensive-minded guy, head coach at San Diego. Rumors that he'll be let go, so we'll see what happens.
Listen to this. If Norwood gets fired, I would keep Mel Tucker, okay? And I heard a special team from Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. I forgot his name. Dallas Cowboys.
Joe DeCamillo.
Yeah, I heard his name.
Who used to be here in Jacksonville.
Why would you want to get that? Just keep Mel Tucker then. If you're going to get a special teams coordinator to be your head coach.
Well, I think you're looking at it wrong. Saqib, I think you're looking at it wrong. It's not just about what the guy's position is now. Because you can go from being a special teams coach to being a head coach and be successful in the NFL,
as Baltimore Ravens.
John Harbaugh will tell you exactly. It's not about, you know, who seems like their resume looks the best or who's going to sell the most tickets. You know, who's going to help you win in the month of May. That doesn't matter. You find the guy who's the best fit to be the best coach, and there's not just one right answer in terms of guys who are good coaches and who can come in here and make it work, but you know, you've got to find the right guy. And
let me ask you guys this: does Tony want to come back?
Tony Dungy?
Does he want to come back?
I would be surprised if he would. I don't know. You know, I certainly don't know him well enough to have any kind of conversations like that. I would be really surprised if he would.
I know after his son passed away, and he just kind of just dozed off and just left, you know what I mean? I know that was very bad for him, but I really like Tony a lot. But if Mel Tucker gets the job, I'll be really happy, long as they fix this wide receiver core, because this is ridiculous. This is just that was pitiful.
Yeah,
that was just embarrassing for Maurice Jones to have a season like he did. That was just embarrassing for those wide receivers not to show up at all, man.
Well, all right, Saqib, we appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, and Happy New Year to you, Saqib, with another
see
call.
See you next season.
And, again, there are some people who are going to be clamoring for a big-name coach. There's some people who will think it's a bad move if they hire a coach who they haven't heard of, but again, or who hasn't been a head coach of the NFL before. We'll see. This is easier said than done, but my point is, win in September, October, November, December. Don't worry about winning in March, April, May.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not – yeah, there's going to be some excitement around the new coach, and that's good. But if you do that and don't win when the games are on, then you've made a bad hire. Right?
Like I said, you heard from Maurice, you know, when I asked him about Mel Tucker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the leader of the team that has a positive vibe about the way he entered a really, really hostile situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone, you know, around this organization can say that Mel Tucker did not handle himself in a very, very professional manner. Now, with time to prepare, knowing you're the head coach, I think the guy do an outstanding job, and I think the response from the guys that are here, that are in that locker room, that went through the season, that know him, that they will definitely come to perform and play better, along with the additions that I'm sure that they're going to make in key positions to make the team better on a personnel perspective. You know, I don't see why not Mel Tucker.
All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. You can also tweet to me if you like. I want to correct a point I'd made earlier. We were talking about the draft order. I put down Miami as a loss. They beat the Jets. So 6-10 for Miami, so they'll pick after the Jaguars at 5-11. So, again, you're looking at somewhere between 4-6 for the Jaguars at this point. And I've got a couple people saying different things to me on Twitter here about where the strength of schedule lies. I think somebody didn't add up today's games to include in that as far as that. So let me just do a little more research, make sure I have my numbers right before I start proclaiming where the Jaguars are going to pick. But Tampa Bay and Cleveland playing right now. Cleveland's beating Pittsburgh 3-0. Tampa Bay is getting destroyed by Atlanta. So figure that it'll be somewhere between 5 or 6 is where the Jaguars probably will wind up as far as the draft it looks like right now. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Jacob Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Back to size up the Jaguars roster as it stands right now after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. All right, let's get some more calls in here. 800-355-NFL1. Burdell is leaving the game. Burdell, drive safely. Happy New Year. You're up on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show.
Thank you very much. I just want to make a general observation about tremendous accomplishment that Maurice Jones-Drew made. You know, I think it's really tremendous for a running back to be able to do that, especially when the team is like so one-dimensional. The Jaguars offense is so one-dimensional. And really all the professionalism in the NFL, being able to prepare for that week in and week out, and he's still able to do it, I think is just phenomenal. I also wanted to point out that I thought today's game was very entertaining and well worth the ticket price today. That little razzle-dazzle at the end of the half, I thought, you know, kind of just set the tempo. And then the final thing I want to do is I certainly want to get on the Mel Tucker for head coach bandwagon. I really agree with a lot of things that Marshall pointed out. But I also wanted to just ask his perspective on potential another dimension of this. It seems to me that him had being the interim head coach, he's going to have perhaps a different outlook on team leadership, having been interim head coach for a few weeks, and it makes me wonder if he would be like willing to be a defensive coordinator for somebody else who he think may not be as capable as he was.
Right. In other words, if the Jaguars don't make him the head coach, would he be a good candidate for defensive coordinator? Would that be something he would like?
Oh, I believe so. I mean, you got to look at the way this defense has performed from where they were last year when he kind of had a smaller role. This season, he was the defensive coordinator, and he brought him from the cellar to the ceiling. And you got to look at that. He's probably one of the better young talents, you know, as a coordinator in the league, you know, and that's why I mean, if you're going to, and when you're looking and evaluating a head coach, he has to be at the top of the list of even not only just here with the Jaguars, you talk about possibly at Tampa, all the places where they're losing coaches, Mel Tucker would have to be on the list.
Yeah, I guess that's really my point, is that if he's not given the head coach job, would he really want to stay on the team, be part of the team?
That would be, you know, that would be
tough.
Well,
his contract is up
after
this.
Yeah, that would
be
tough for him. That'd be a – depend. You know, I
think on who they hire.
Yeah, it depends on who the head coach would be. I mean, I think –
But listen, if you there is a human component to this, remember. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have to move his family. He, you know, he's already developed some roots here in Jacksonville. He has a great relationship with Gene Smith. All right, he knows the players. He knows the players will play for him. There's a lot of positives.
Yeah, but I think it would determine who the head coach would be. I don't think he would want to work for someone that he's probably, you figure, just as good as in that position. Because I think he's going to have some other opportunities, but like you said, besides this one. As a head coach, I think he's going to probably have an opportunity to interview at other places.
I would think so, too. And, I mean, he should, based on merit, but also because of the Rooney Rule. If he doesn't get some interviews, you know, you'd go.
Call on Al Sharp.
Something. All right, thanks for the call, Burdell. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Steve Lake Asbury, who is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, football gurus. It was a great game day today. It was a great day honoring the Weavers. I got to throw one log onto the fire when everybody was booing Gene Smith. Oh,
yeah,
that just broke my heart. I don't think they know what this guy has done for the team.
There were two reasons why I didn't like that. One is, you know, I don't agree with the fact, you know, the guy's a good GM. I don't think you should be booing him. But if you want to, listen, that's your prerogative. But the thing that really frosted my cake is that they were doing that while Gene was talking about his regard for Wayne Weaver.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't have the kind of maturity to at least step back and hear a guy, even you don't like his draft picks, you don't like whatever. Fine. You don't think he's exciting enough? Whatever. But he's sitting there, what you're doing by proxy is you're booing Gene Smith and you're booing the Weavers, and I thought it was classless for those who were booing at that point.
It was. It was ridiculous. But I'm ready for next year. I'm re-upping my 30-30, and I'm ready for barbecue season.
I like it. Thank you. Appreciate it, Steve. 800.
Bye, guys.
Happy New Year, Steve.
855-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get... Well, tell you what. Actually, let me get a tweet in here. Had somebody tweet to me that they are excited about the offseason. This is Billy. Excited about the offseason, but really feel we didn't help ourselves today. Obviously, this is an Andrew Luck thing. You've been through this as a player.
Right.
Now, as the voice of the fans, what do you think about fans who are disappointed that the Jaguars won today?
No, you can never be disappointed to win. That's what this game is all about. You know, you go out there, and to not come out to perform well, that's not what you want as a fan, as a team, for your team to do. You know, you never want them to throw a game. Winning is the only thing when you're talking about sports. You pay this money for these tickets. The last thing you want to do is come out and see your team throw a game. We'll worry about the luck bridge once it's time to cross that. There's nothing to say that luck will be as good as people anticipate. In my opinion, it's a whole lot of hype. I've seen a lot of rookies come in and out of this league, Heisman Trophy winners that are complete busts. Now, not to say that he will or he won't, but it don't matter. You know, it's going to be all about what this team does. If they just worry about the Jacksonville Jaguars, because not only will they have to see Indianapolis, they still got to play Houston and Shop. They're still going to have to play this young stud that you see in Tennessee twice. So the least of the worries is going to be Indianapolis and what they may do next season.
Yeah, you still have to – you've got to beat them, whoever it is.
It doesn't
and
matter.
So go out there and
you still got Pittsburgh you
got
to play. You still got to play the Ravens.
Yep.
I mean, the AFC is going to be tough to get through regardless of who – luck is in the AFC or NFC.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Eric on the west side, who's up next here. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
All right, how are you guys?
Good, Eric.
All right, so apparently I missed, like, the last few minutes of the game to have Nadeem running around. What happened? I heard something like, did Love get hurt?
Poslesny went out first half with a shoulder, and I'm going to try to find the exact time of it. But
it was right towards the end of the first half.
It was Indy's next to last drive, so something like 4 or 5 minutes left in the half with a shoulder injury, but don't know the severity of it at this point.
Okay, because I caught, like, Coach Tucker's interview with, you know, logs after the game, mm-hmm. and it's like, pause, and I'm like, wait, what did I miss? And my wife couldn't tell me, nobody can tell me anything, and I'm like, well, it's all gone.
Well, yeah, and the good news is you'll have some good time to heal up.
There you go. And, you know, as far as what Marco was just saying with Andrew Luck and all that, you know, honestly, I'd rather see, you know, us pick up, you know, go after, like, Reggie Wayne in free agency as to, you know, mm-hmm. if he doesn't get renewed instead yep. of going after a, unproven rookie.
Why not take Reggie Wayne and Mario Williams and just tear the whole AFC South apart?
Sure.
There you go.
And by the way, both very well could be available.
Hey, why
Mario
not?
Williams, you know, they moved him to the outside to play in the 3-4. He's really a 4-3 defensive end.
Hey. You team him up with Mincy?
Does Reggie Wayne want to play with, an unknown quantity at quarterback if Peyton Manning? You know, there's some thought that Peyton would not want to be in a situation where Andrew Luck is there staring over his shoulder.
That's possible.
Because he can still command. Now, that's going to be a very intriguing storyline throughout the course of the offseason because nobody knows exactly, you know, first of all, how healthy is Peyton? How healthy is he going to be? Obviously, he can still play, but could you imagine a situation? Yeah, they can't trade him. They couldn't trade him. His contract would be too big. But can you imagine a situation where Peyton Manning was cut and now he's a free agent?
Mm.
I mean, there's all kinds. I mean, it's really – It could that may be wind up being the biggest story of the offseason.
I could not see anyone, you know, because you know what you're going to get with Peyton Manning. Regardless, I mean, I'll take 80% Peyton Manning over a rookie that I don't have any clue as to what he's going to do. You know what I mean?
For now.
Like I said, you still don't know. I mean, you really don't know. I mean, you know, he plays out in the Pac-10. It's not like you're playing in the SEC or ACC for that matter.
Now, listen, if you're asking me in my amateur scouts opinion, I think he's going to be really good. I've liked a lot of things I've seen out of him from the early days. He's got a good football pedigree. His dad, of course, was a football player. You go to Stanford, you're probably not a dummy. You know, that's the Georgia Tech of the West, right?
You know?
there's a lot of things I like, and I like the way he throws the football. He's accurate, very accurate, throwing the football. Now, again, he'll be a rookie.
There'll be 32 picks in the first round,
mm-hmm.
and all of them will be picked off of potential.
Right. Every single one.
Every single
no
one.
No doubt about that. All right. Thanks for the call there, Eric. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Frederick in Savannah, or from Savannah. He was at the game today. Eric, Frederick, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey there.
What's on your mind?
Well, one thing I want to do was speak in harmony with the guy that spoke about Gene Smith. And I was at the stadium, and when they started giving those boos, I was like, oh, I could not believe it.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was really wrong because I felt like Gene Smith has done a very good job, especially on defense. And I was wondering, what did you think? Not saying that the Weavers could not afford it or anything like that, but you think that he would be able to have more power behind Shad Khan when getting the draft, picking draft choices?
Well, Gene Smith had all the power in picking draft choices the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
That's been the thing. I mean, that's been his thing. He's in charge of the roster. That's the position of general manager as it's defined within this organization. Now, in both the cases it was with Wayne Weaver, and I suspect it will be with Shad Khan, that he'll have veto power. He may say, listen, I don't want to mess with this guy or that guy. If there's a question about the guy's character. But with Gene Smith, you don't have to worry about him drafting somebody who's got questionable character, just, you know, because he makes that a high point of what he's what he looks for. So,
right.
Well,
the only problem I kind of have is with Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and that was another question that I want to pose. What do you think? If a person have more intangibles, such as Robert Griffin or RG3, would it be worth it to.
All right, that's in other words, should the Jaguars draft a quarterback in the first round is sort of your question.
Yeah, with more intangibles than Blaine Gabbert does, because to me he don't have as much intangibles. I think he will be a good quarterback if he sat behind somebody and had that time. I think he will turn out to be another Aaron Rodgers, even, or a good quarterback. But if you want something now, like win now with a quarterback that has the intangibles, I think that RG3 will be a better person to pick. Could the Jaguars cut their ties with Blaine Gabbert and go after RG3?
No, they're not going to cut their ties with the guy they just drafted and paid a bunch of money. No, it's now you're saying.
I mean, because the Panthers, it's not like it's unheard of. I mean, the Panthers went and got Cam Newton.
Yeah, that, with the number one pick in the draft, after they had drafted Jimmy Clausen with a second round pick, big difference. And they hadn't invested the year in having Jimmy Clausen develop as the starter. Listen, totally different situation. Now, let me play out what I believe would be the only scenario where the Jaguars would draft a quarterback in the first round. If they have, let's say, RG3 rated as, you know, the number one, number two player in the draft, and when their pick comes at 5 to 7, whatever we decide it's going to be, right? 5, 6, 7. Let's just say 6 for the sake of argument. And RG3 is there, and somebody wants to trade up with them, and the Jaguars wind up trading back, and then for some reason RG3 doesn't get picked, and by the time they come back, you know, later in the first round maybe, and it's not a money thing so much, it's about a value. You must get value out of the pick that you choose, mm-hmm. right? So whether that means trading the pick and or picking a player who you're going to get something out of. If you draft the greatest player in the history of college football and he doesn't help you in the pros, it doesn't matter. You haven't gotten value out of that pick. I'm still going to – I need to look a little more closely at RG3. Great athlete. Looks like a terrific kid from everything. He says the right things. Raised by a couple of sergeants in the Army. Has a wonderful sock collection. We've talked about some of these. Athlete, great hurdler. Stud quarterback in college. There are a couple of things about him that I have concerns about, but I need to watch more to see about him. But what I think about his ability isn't going to impact what the Jaguars do in terms of the pick. I would be very surprised if the Jaguars would take a quarterback in the first round. Doesn't mean they couldn't take a quarterback in the fourth round, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's so much talent up there when you talk about the top 5 or 6 guys. I don't think that's going to be a factor. Now, one thing is interesting. Matt Barkley deciding to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
That took one of the quarterbacks off the board, which takes a little bit of the trade-down possibility out of the equation a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think about RG3?
Well, RG, I think he's an outstanding quarterback. I like him. I mean, as a defensive player, a player like that is a lot tougher to defend than Luck, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, it depends. Luck has to have a good offensive lineman, you know what I mean, because he can't make the type of plays himself that an RG3 could do.
Well, name it
in the NFL.
Luck is not exactly a statue now.
I know, but in the NFL, you know, he has the athletic ability to be able to make plays that I'm not sure that Luck will be able to do the same type of things he's been doing in college with his legs in the NFL.
But I'm not sure if RG3 will, you know.
Yeah. I think he has that type of ability. But either way, that level of pick, that high of a pick, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're picking a quarterback, that pick is going to be looked to make an impact that season. They're picking up that 5, 6, top 10, really first round, the first pick for a team. In most cases, they're picking a player to play as a rookie, unless it's a quarterback. And a lot of times, you know, as we see with Blaine, they're going to play that season, or Cam Newton, or, you know, a lot of other guys.
Now, got an email, or rather a tweet here from Lance, who says, "We do be happy with David DeCastro, since it looks like the Jags will miss out on the top 5 talent almost for sure now." Well, again, it's not almost for sure. But David DeCastro is a guard. He's one of Andrew Luck's offensive linemen at Stanford.
You don't need that. This offensive line, they're touting the best running back, best running attack in the NFL right now. Now, pass protection may be in question, but Rackley's young. You got a young left tackle and right. When you get Britton back and he's healthy, and then you still Wimper played, had a heck of a season, so you got a back up there. And then, you know, you figure out Wynary is playing outstanding.
Don't take a guard in the top 10.
And then with Wynary, you know, you probably could bring someone in the back, you know, a young guy to bring to foster behind Meester. Mm-hmm. But Wynaire is that safety bunk because he can play center. So, I mean, on the offensive line, picking high, I don't think we'll spend a lot of money on offensive linemen. That wouldn't be – I don't think
they like John Estes, who they've kept on the roster as an inactive all, you know, last 2 years basically, because they like him. They think he can be that the next guy whenever it is that they need to make a change at center. Meester had one of his best years of his career this year, though.
Well, latter part of the season. Early, I was a little disappointed in some of the things he did. But he's an anchor in that offensive line, you know. And he's going to be, you know, he's one of those guys I could see playing for 20 years, you know, like Manawai and those guys. You know, he has that potential. He's going and the guys around him. That offensive line is stout. I don't think you break up that deal. Maybe just add some depth, but first round pick offensive lineman. I would doubt that would happen.
All right, let's take time out here. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. More of your calls, tweets. You can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. Back with more after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Let me do a little housekeeping. One more, right, to take, Eddie? All right, we've got a few more minutes to go here before we call it a year. And time now for the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. And as the money player was an easy one, Marco, I think this is an easy one.
What's that?
The carry of the game.
Yes, the 56-yard scamper by Maurice Jones-Drew to break the single-season rushing record set by Mr.
Fred Taylor.
Yes, you got to give it to MJD. This was his season. Yeah. Like I said, he was the offense.
Yeah, and I think, by the way, I know that Maurice would take lesser stats next year as long as one stat was better.
That's for sure.
Wins, right?
But I'm sure if they are to win, he'll have an outstanding season. It'll go hand in hand.
Yep. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Andy in Mandarin, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Andy, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good, Andy.
What's on your mind?
How many coaching positions are going to be open this year?
In the NFL? Head coaching?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, let me go down the list here.
Well, Kansas City.
Miami.
Yeah.
We know Kansas City. Looking through.
Throw in Jacksonville, too.
Jacksonville. Possibly the Chargers. Who am I leaving out here? We've got, I think the Bears, I think they'll probably stick with Levy there. Tampa Bay, Rams. So you're looking at probably 6, unless
that's
I'm missing
lot.
One here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a lot.
That's, you know, it's about the way
some
things
of them
are
haven't going. Been actually fired just yet, so you don't really know. Yeah. It's just speculation, so you never know if they keep them or not. With like Spagnuolo with the Rams, you don't know if he's, and then Ryan, all those things haven't been confirmed, but it's very highly suspected.
Well, that's going to put, for that job, it's going to be put a lot of guys out there looking for jobs, good coaches.
That's why I said that, Mel Tucker may have not only an opportunity here at Jacksonville, but at one of those other teams to be a head coach.
Yeah, and it makes it easier transition if he stays here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I kind of agree with that. Let me ask you this. Wide receivers in the draft.
Yes.
We're going to pick in the top 10, you know, whatever position it ends up being. We're going to get us a wide receiver.
Possibly.
Do you pick in the top 10 a wide receiver? Or is there somebody out there that's that good is what
if
I'm
you
getting at?
If you think Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson is there, no doubt about it.
Right. But who's there?
Well, Justin Blackmon is the best receiver coming out from Oklahoma State. The other two guys who will probably get some notoriety in terms of a first-round pick would be Alshon Jeffrey from South Carolina, and then the other guy is Malcolm Floyd from Notre Dame, although most of the projections, and again, it's early, tend to have him more toward the middle or late part of the first round. But I don't think the Jaguars are going to go into the draft with as great a need at wide receiver as they have as we sit here right now, because there will be that first stage of free agency where they'll be able to address some of that. And I think the Jaguars will have will treat the free agency period with the wide receivers as they did last year in terms of the safety.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For the call.
Happy New Year.
Let's go to Sarah from the South Side is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Sarah, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
Sarah.
I wanted to talk about Josh Scobie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys realize, but he scored 13 out of the total points today, and the rest of the team scored 6. And he's just a phenomenal player, and I hope they re-sign him next year.
Yeah, I would be shocked if that wouldn't be one of the top priorities for the Jaguars. He's a weapon on kickoffs, although that's a little less of a thing. But, I mean, geez, he had the second best year in the history of kicking for the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Percentage-wise, he was only like 0.3% behind Mike Hollis's best year. So, I mean,
wow.
the guy is terrific and, you know, good in the community and even throws a tackle in from time to time.
Yeah, he really is. He's a terrific guy.
Yeah, and so I expect that he'll be one of the Jaguars players in terms of signing their own. He'll be high on that list of priorities.
Yes, definitely. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks
Happy
a lot,
New
Sarah.
Year.
Happy New Year to you. 800-355-NFL1. All right, again, just trying to weed out the draft order here to find out exactly where things look right now. According to this playoffstatus.com, if you're looking at draft order 1 through 8, the Jaguars have less than a 1% chance of being the 4th pick, 3% chance of being the 5th pick, 28% chance of being 6, and 69% chance of being 7. So 6, again, looks like 6 or 7 for the Jaguars in terms of their draft. And if you're looking at the top 6 or 7 players, Andrew Luck, Matt Khalil, Justin Blackmon, Morris Claiborne, RG3, then Trent Richardson, they're 6. Then you get into some other questions about guys, you know, will Alshon Jeffrey be a guy who would be up that high? There's some offensive linemen who no doubt will be up there as well. The Jaguars may be on one of those.
They even have an eye on a pass rusher. I said, when you mentioned the free agency, you got a lot of time between that draft and being able to hone in on a couple of free agents.
Yes.
So you never know what's going to be.
You don't know what the needs may be.
Yeah, what the need may be.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Scott just tweeted, what do you think the Jags will do in free agency? Again, I think they will attack the wide receiver position. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they signed two wide receivers. I think they'll look at cornerback, and I think they'll look at pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Gene Smith has basically said that's what we think we need to look at. So, Gene's a man of his word. He's not a guy who just throws out comments without some weight behind them. I think that's what you'll see the Jaguars do. Pretty simple. Now, who that is, who they'll target, I don't know.
You can't show his hand. You never know
who
might be listening to steal your player.
Exactly. All right, we'll take time out, come back, put a final wrap on this 2011 season, finishing on New Year's Day 2012. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here, wrapping it up for the season. All right, Marco, let's get some parting thoughts here on what this season will be remembered for and what you expect the offseason to be like for the Jags.
Well, you know, you saw the coming of age of a new quarterback. I think you're going to see a guy that's going to be pretty good for a while in this league as long as he can be taught. You know, so the biggest emphasis will be on, well, all the pressure now is on Gene Smith, finding the right person to lead this team in 2012.
All right, I will remember this for Maurice Jones-Drew's performance on the field. And for a true watershed moment, you know, watershed where you see you pour the water on top, it's going to go one way or the other, right? This is a watershed moment, a watershed offseason in the Jaguars' history, because you have a new owner, because you're going to have a new coach, because you have a new kind of energy, and we'll see if the Jaguars can capitalize on that. I think the blocks of the foundation are good here. I think Eugene Monroe had a good year. Uche Nwaneri had a good year. Meester, solid at center. Will Rackley's got to play better, but I think he will. He's just a rookie. Yeah. You got to give rookies a chance to grow. You can't expect them to be finished products when they come in. I think Gabbert will get better. I think the Jaguars will address the wide receiver position in free agency. I think they're going to add a pass rusher. They need to re-sign Jeremy Mincy. That linebacking core looks terrific. Get everybody healthy. They're going to need to find a cornerback as well because I don't think Rasheen Mathis is going to be ready to go at the beginning of the year, even if the Jaguars decide to keep him. That would be a pretty quick recovery from the injury, and he may not be here. And they've got some good depth in terms of the safety position right now. get Scobie re-signed. And maybe the other thing, can we find somebody who could be an impact player in the return game? That's the other thing that the Jaguars have not done a very good. We've seen some flashes here and there. Daji Kareem looked pretty good today. Mm-hmm. If he's not the backup, if he's just a kick returner and doesn't have to be the backup running back.
See if Cecil Shorts can get better with the little time off.
See if Mercedes can catch the ball again. And there's a lot of questions. And then can Campman be any kind of a factor at all next year for the he's under contract. We'll see what's going to happen there. A lot of questions to be answered. And, of course, the biggest one in the offseason, who will be the new coach? And we'll see how it all plays out. Marco, a great year. Happy New Year to you.
Happy
really
New
enjoyed
Year,
it.
Cole P.
For Ed Rocco, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying, Happy New Year, everybody. Jaguars finished the year at 5-11. And now, the changes approach. New coach.
Changing of the guard.
We'll see what happens.
Mel Tucker.
Marco's on the Mel Tucker train, as he was on the Mercedes Lewis train a couple of years ago.
Yeah, hey. He'll be back.
I think he will, too.
He'll be back.
All right. Tomorrow night, we will give you the opportunity to hear it from the general manager, Gene Smith, on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, the final edition of the year. Jaguars Coaches Show, Tuesday, with Mel Tucker joining Brian Sexton. And then Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, a one-hour program on Wednesday with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and John Osher. Jaguars finished the year at 5-11, and now all eyes to the future to see what the next step is for the Jaguars. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Radio all year long. Happy New Year and good night from Jaguar Central.